Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we don't read from a teleprompter either. None of that. This is all extemporaneous. Well, except for what I read from the news stories. But the rest of it, pretty much off the top of my head. And where do I want to go? It's China's locking down again. I read an article. I'll try to link to it. I read it just before airtime. They are locking down because they have a zero COVID policy regarding even asymptomatic cases. That means even if nobody gets sick, they're still going to lock down. You know, this, it's eerie, creepy, weird, new world order, bizarro, strange, all of that. Apocalyptic, you name it. Dystopian, it's all of that. But it reminds me a little bit of China's copycat attitude toward the West. They copy everything. I mean, you know, they steal all of our intellectual property, and if you have anything manufactured over there, they'll stamp out copies out and send them out the back door. So we know they copy us, but this is on a deeper level. China has developed this almost instinctive copycat response to the West, and it reminds me of their copycat response to the Western doomsayers about population in the 1970s. When the doomsayers, the population doomsayers of the 1970s were ascendant, the Chinese, in hopes of being hip and cool, bought into the population crisis doom and have murdered 500 million people of their own children. Just copying the hip, cool 1970. And now they've got this copycat. Will it be as catastrophic? Well, we shall see. We shall see. We will go first, into the bizarro world file. It's a bizarre new world. Nancy Pelosi, what more do you need you say, right? You know you're going into bizarro world. We'll talk about Nancy Pelosi. She spoke with President Zelensky of Ukraine last week. And when asked about it, her discussion with the president of the country being invaded by the Russians in what could be the prelude to World War III. What does Nancy Pelosi talk about? She mentions that she let Zelensky know that Billie Jean King sends her regards. Billie Jean King sends her regards. It's a bizarre world. Yeah, she said, when I spoke to President Zelensky, I said, Billie Jean King sent you her regards. That's what she shouted to reporters as they, you know, asked her about World War III and stuff. Billie Jean King is a tennis player who's also a rabid advocate of the sex pervert agenda. She's a lesbian from the 70s. She's one of the people in the 70s that the Chinese thought was really hip and cool. And so there we have that from Bizarro World. And from there we go to reason number 1928 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The new parents' rights bill passed in Florida last week. You've all heard about this, right? Because the pro-family industry on the so-called right has lined up in defense of this bill, claiming it's not the Don't Say Gay bill. while all the rabid, foaming at the mouth leftists call it the Don't Say Gay Bill, and both sides are arguing on TV about what the bill is and what it isn't and what should be and what shouldn't be. And don't say gay, and I say gay, and you got people marching through the airport just going, gay, 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 gay. So it's obvious that at least one group has reached the point of utter madness to just march down the street just saying, gay, 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 gay. And okay, so they're just completely out of their minds. But what about our side? That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about our side. Florida, the Senate last week passed what they call the Parental Rights in Education Bill. And the bill specifically states that classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through third grade, or in a manner that's not age appropriate, or not in accordance with state standards, whatever that means, on any given day. So our side is implying that teaching fourth graders about sexual anything is appropriate? Is that what we're implying? The Republicans in Florida and everywhere else seem to think that talking about sex to fourth graders is okay. They agree with all the sex perverts. It's just where they draw the line. Third grade? No way. Fourth grade, max. Are you people out of your minds? Speaking to fourth grade children about sex is a criminal act for which you should be arrested. Okay, but our side seems to have skipped the light fantastic along with all the deviant perverts trying to actually molest the kids in real time. And it's concerning to me. So in fact, let's go to reason number 1930 in no particular order. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, they might get a lesson in transgendered vocabulary. Yeah, we got a post here that was put up on social media by the co-founder and president of Real Clear Politics. Whoever this guy is, I have no idea who he is. His name is Tom Bevin, and he founded Real Clear Politics, which I'm pretty sure is a leftist a news aggregating opinion leftist. It's part of all that. So anyway, the guy's not a right winger. Okay? You're not going to find him in a fundamentalist church on Sunday. But he posted a list of vocabulary words that his fifth grader was assigned in science class. Vocabulary words for science class in the fifth grade included adolescence, consent, transgender, cisgender, non-binary. These were the vocabulary words for the fifth grader in science class. And the leftist founder of Real Clear Politics says that he was shocked. Disturbed. Let's see, was he shocked or disturbed? He just posted, last night, my fifth grader told us his vocabulary words for science class this week. For those of you who question whether I made this up, and then he posts a picture of it, and he doesn't even seem all that shocked or disturbed. I apologize for implying that he might have been disturbed. He simply posted it. It just is. This is my fifth grader's vocabulary for whatever. And then I got the story from the Liberty Daily, which is run by J.D. Rucker, who claims to be some sort of right winger. And here's what J.D. Rucker writes about the story. He says, He says, if they, meaning the transgendered and the people who want to post vocabulary like this, if they want to live that way, so be it. Just stop teaching our kids to embrace this ideology. So is this what the right has devolved to? Okay, here's the thing. You're wrong, JD. This is criminal. To live that way is criminal. You can't say if they want to live that way, so be it. Uh-uh. No, it's criminal, JD. And this is exactly why it's criminal. If we say that people are free to behave this way, then they will, number one, they're going to destroy themselves, JD. But number two, they're going to destroy others. And eventually, JD, they're going to come after your kids and mine. That's why we make it illegal to behave this way, because we know where this leads. Anyway, only the recriminalization of sexual immorality, including pornography, adultery, just starting with all of that, starting with the heterosexual sexual criminality. We need to start with that. I mean, if we would have drawn the line there, then maybe the homos wouldn't be pouring into the kindergarten. But they are. And it's gotten people like J.D. Rucker, who claims to be on the right, he thinks that it's okay for adults. Just leave the kids out of this. J.D., they won't leave the kids out. All right, now, do I want to go, what do I want to do here? I had to unsubscribe. I have an alternate email address that I use for when I'm trying to fake or hide or whatever. You know, you just got the fake email. It's not a fake email. It's just an email so my inbox doesn't get clogged by solicitations for various things that I look at online. And I don't want to actually hear from these people for the rest of my life, but I want to find out about whatever. All right. So it's a Yahoo address. And so whenever I log into Yahoo, I get the Yahoo News feed, and I get subscribed to things, and I didn't subscribe. Most recently, it was inspiringquotes.com. I got subscribed to inspiringquotes.com. I don't know how or why, but I had to unsubscribe because it's an automated email that I was subscribed to without my knowledge and against my will. And so anyway, I think it was Yahoo's way of telling me that I should read more. I don't know. Why are you subscribing me to Inspiring Quotes? Are you implying that I'm some kind of moron? Some uneducated, uncultured buffoon who's not familiar with Inspiring Quotes already? So anyway, I had to unsubscribe because why? Well, here are some examples of the Inspiring Quotes. Listen to this. I love my rejection slips. They remind me I try. That's from Sylvia Plath, who I never heard of. Inspiring quote number two. I was smart enough to go through any door that opened. Joan Rivers. Really? Joan Rivers? Okay. Let's see. What was the one that broke the camel's back? Oh, here it is. From Billie Jean King, as a matter of fact. Champions keep playing until they get it right. And I'm like, well, what, inspiring? So anyway, I had to unsubscribe. My guess is that vain and vacuous people actually subscribe to this. And then when they see it in their inbox, they're impressed with themselves that they're trying to broaden their cultural literacy, and you know, or maybe they get subscribed to it by Yahoo and they're actually thankful that they're on a list that Yahoo feels is worthy of being automatically subscribed to these valuable quotes. And so the vain and the vacuous remain subscribed in order to impress themselves and the other less impressive people that they hang around with, because they specialize in hanging around with people less impressive than them, so that they can feel impressed with themselves. My advice to everyone out there, hang out with people more impressive than you are. It will do you a lot of good. The Weekly Review, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. You want to use the same tactic that David Lee Roth did when he went solo. He knew he wasn't that impressive. He knew it. Didn't really have the vocal chops. Wasn't really a great songwriter. So what does he do? He surrounds himself with really, really good guitar players. And then he ends up with a decent career. Surround yourself with people more impressive than you are. Trust me. It will serve you well in the long run. Now, from there, we go... Do I want to do more of this? How many reasons can there be? Reason number 1,927 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The Daily Wire reporter who uncovered the Loudoun County scandal regarding the girl who was raped in a bathroom by a boy dressed as a girl. You remember all of that, right? You might wonder, how is it that that story was uncovered? Well, it's because the reporter at the Daily Wire... has been working on a 2-year investigation of America's schools. He's now got a book out called Race to the Bottom. And he says he's going to expose school districts across the country. What's his name? Rosiak. Where's his first name? I don't have his first name here. The book is by, his last name is Rosiak. I guess that's all you're going to get here because that's all I've got. Race to the Bottom is the name of the book, and he says that the same dynamics uncovered at the Loudoun County School District are epidemic all across the country, with boys dressing like girls and students being molested, raped, abused, assaulted, all of that. It's going on everywhere. He calls out 61 districts and 11 states by name, but he says this type of incidents and behavior. These types of incidents and behavior encompass almost all school districts. He talks about a small group of radical consultants that have been hired prolifically by school districts across the country. He says these activist groups of leftists have their tentacles into almost every public school district in the country and even private schools. The Zen Education Project, working through the content company Nucella, produces deviant, perverted curricula used by 90% of the districts in the United States of America. 90% of the school districts are corrupted with outright Marxist, communist, sex pervert criminals. The author says that Luke Rosiak, by the way, Luke Rosiak says, if you want to save your kids, you have to know what they're up against. And most of what they're up against aren't household names. These are anonymous operators working for decades while no one was watching. Well, Luke, we were watching. While these unnamed, shadowy, deviant perverts were corrupting the government schools, we were watching. We've been warning people for over 20 years to get or keep your children out of the government schools. We appreciate your work, Luke. Thank you for waking some of these people up. But some of their kids have already graduated, and they've been completely corrupted, and it's just unbelievable. I would encourage you to go buy the book, but you're going to find out that you already heard about it. If you've been listening to this show, you don't need to buy the book. race to the bottom indeed. All right, masks. Oh, here we go. Reason number one to get your... Oh, wait, this is... I don't want to be politically incorrect, but this is reason number one that moms should stay home and raise their kids. I'm sorry, I don't mean to... Reason number one that moms should stay home and raise their kids. This was sent to us from our Alaska Bureau, oddly enough, because it's in San Diego. Regulators in San Diego opened an investigation into the masking practices of a daycare center in San Diego, Aspen Leaf Preschool, when regulators were tipped off that perhaps masking wasn't being appropriately instituted. They raided, I said raided, the preschools. Yes, that's right. There was a surprise no-knock raid. Regulators separated the children from familiar adults and began questioning them about the masking practices at the preschool. Regulators now parents were upset. So there was an investigation by the regulators who kicked in the doors. And raided and they did an investigation and they determined that what they did was fine. They determined that the interviews were conducted in an appropriate manner and were necessary, of course, because you know there had been a complaint. What happened here? How did the Nazi jackbooted thugs find out that the preschool was going unmasked? Because a parent complained. Kevin Gaines, the deputy director of child care licensing, way too many words. He says that this Aspen Leaf preschool openly did not enforce the state's mask requirement. Openly. So they tried to be open about it, so they were raided. Now, the owners of Aspen Leaf reasoned that was the first problem. The owners reasoned that the children would not wear masks while they were sleeping or eating, and so they'd likely give each other COVID-19 anyways. And on top of that, they thought the masks would not be good for the children's development. Well, how dare they think and reason at all? Right? Now we know why they had to be made an example of. They had the audacity to think and reason when all of that had been, we thought we had put a halt to all of that. There was to be no thinking and no reasoning. You were simply to put on masks, stay 6 feet away from each other, and be scared all the time. That's what we had ordered you to do, and everybody was going along, and things were going just peachy. Until you stop to think and reason, which is not acceptable. Anyway, a parent who sent their kid to the school with other kids complained to the licensing authority that masking was not being enforced. So the commissar is your neighbor. Your neighbor with the mask thinks that you, without the mask, are a threat. We're at a burger joint. I'm sitting there eating a burger and a group of five or six people, they're all wearing masks. We're sitting outside eating a burger at a burger joint. All of the mask mandates have been allowed to expire, I guess you'd call it. And here comes a group of five or six people all wearing masks. And I wanted to say to them, I didn't because, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. But I want to say to them, you people with your masks are starting to creep us normal people out. Because it's as if you're implying that I am a threat to you to give you some sort of disease. Is that what you're saying? And then after I say that, I want to punch the men in the group in the face as a means of removing their mask by punching them in the face. That's what I want to do, but I didn't do it. And I'm glad I got that out because now maybe I won't have that urge to. Next time I see someone with a mask, I won't have the urge to grab them and beat them. Although I might. I mean, I won't grab them and beat them, but I might have that urge. Anyway, Aspen Leaf reversed its policy after the raid. They say they had to reverse their policy to avoid getting shut down. Uh-huh, right. And so now this is the lie This is the lie that everybody has believed. You tell yourself that you're only going to forsake your duty to be a guardian of Christian liberty, which, by the way, is your duty. It is all of our duty to be the guardians of the Christian liberty that was handed down to us by our forefathers, paid for in blood. People fought and died for the liberty you have. It's not yours alone to give away. Keep that in mind. And you're certainly not to give away other people's liberty. So it's all of our responsibility. But here's the lie that everybody bought into. Yeah, I'm going to go along, right? I'm not going to be a guardian of liberty so that I can preserve my liberty. Huh? Yeah, that's what we all did. All of us participated to some degree. Small business people participated to their own destruction. They said, well, I have to burn the village down in order to save it. I'm going to give up my liberty. I'm going to allow the tyrants to come in and put their boots on my neck and squish me down on the ground so that I can preserve my liberty and my freedom to operate my business. And so they all did it. So we all burned down the village in order to save it. And at the moment, it appears that all the businesses that went along have achieved their immediate goal of survival. Well, I mean, except the ones that didn't survive, which there were a bunch of those. But I tell you now, all of you who flinched and allowed the boot on your neck to preserve the liberty that you gave away, all of you, all of us, none of us will be spared from the destruction that's coming. There is no recovery from that. There is no preserving your liberty once you've handed it to the tyrants and you've allowed them to show their teeth. So you won't be spared. And that's, I don't want to start giving a lecture. Anyway, that's why when I see somebody with a mask, I want to punch them in the face. Now I think I understand it. I've wondered, why is it that I've had this violent response? Why have I had this instinctive response to seeing the mask in that I want to physically assault the people? Now I understand why. It's because they're giving away something that other people fought and died to give them. They're giving it away, and for that, they need to be physically confronted about that. I've chosen, in all instances, not to physically confront anyone about it. I have confronted people verbally, and I probably will again. As time goes on, and the self-righteous, mentally deficient people keep with the masks, there's going to be a confrontation. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I had the honor of witnessing testimony at the Colorado Legislature, the Colorado State Capitol, where a bill was introduced called the Reproductive Health Equity Act. This proposed law is the angry rantings of sexual deviance written into law. That's what it is. A proposed law denying that the unborn child can ever be recognized as a person, ever. The ironic thing here, one of the many ironies, is that these sexually deviant, corrupt children insist that they want to change the law with a new law that says this law can never be changed. That's right. They want a law that perpetually eliminates the possibility of another law that ever says an unborn baby is a person. Yet they don't see the irony. And hence my deduction that these are the angry rantings of sexual deviance now being written into law. Anyway, my two daughters testified against the Reproductive Health Equity Act at the Colorado legislature, at the Capitol there, along with 70 others. And I got to hear a bit of it. I didn't get to hear all of it. My daughters got to hear all of it, which it is an exercise, an object lesson in the futility of democracy, the futility of representative democracy, and the idea that we can make up laws and then vote on them and then pass them. My daughters now know that that's all idiocy, ridiculous, ludicrous insanity, borderlining on criminal insanity. The idea that we can just make up laws and vote on them is insane. And my daughters now know that because they had to sit through 14 hours of testimony from both sides, at the conclusion of which a bill insisting that the law can never be changed, a new law to change the law, to make sure the law can never be changed, the bill was passed by the Committee of Deviance, one of which, during all of the testimony on the TV screen, on the Zoom call, one of the men had his preferred pronouns on his permanent title there at the bottom of the screen. Provoking what I assert was the best the best line of the entire testimony, the entire 14 hours, which was given by my daughter Zoe, after giving numerous lines of evidence for the personhood of the unborn child. Zoe said, quote, "Further evidence that the unborn child is an individual person is that there is a 50% chance it will be a boy, which is different than a girl, no matter your preferred pronouns." And I think she stuck a "that's right" in there. So, "that's right, it's different than a girl." Best line of the night. All right, so my children have now been inoculated from the ridiculous idea that democratic activity can be used to advance civilization. And so that's at least one. So then let's go to the justice file, where UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez was arrested back in February after he attempted to shoot a man. Why did he attempt to shoot the man? Well, because the man had tried to molest a child in his family. And so the molester, unfortunately, was not injured by the UFC fighter who shot at him. The molester is accused. Oh, it's only an accused molester. I apologize. The molester is accused of, listen to the charge. This is the criminal charge: lewd and lascivious act upon a child under 14 years. It's too many words. Too many words. The molester should be charged with simple rape. That's all. If you force another human being unwillingly into any type of sexual behavior, that's called rape. And the punishment should be death. By the way, the accused rapist was released from custody without bail. And this made the UFC heavyweight champion Cain freak out. He grabbed a gun and went and tried to kill the guy. Now, Cain shouldn't have grabbed a gun and went and tried to kill the guy, but more serious than that was the governing officials who released the accused rapist. That was a more serious crime. And Cain wouldn't have picked up a gun and tried to kill the guy if the governing officials hadn't let the guy out of jail. Oh, but they didn't just let him out. They tried to tell Cain, listen, we've ordered him to stay away from children under 14. He's going to check their ID. and we've got him. He was also ordered to wear a monitoring bracelet. Ironically, the rapist was on his way to pick up the bracelet when the UFC champion tried to kill him with a gun, which I just find ironic. The child, by the way, is there any credible evidence? Well, we have a child under 10 years old telling the sheriff that the accused rapist took him into a bathroom. And then I'm not going to get into what the child said that he did in the bathroom, but it's something that a 10-year-old generally wouldn't make up. The child says that it occurred over 100 times. The child says he witnessed other kids going into the bathroom with this rapist as well. Other children are being interviewed as we speak. And so the story that I will link to on Breitbart is about Joe Rogan giving a profane vote of support for this vigilante, Cain Velasquez, who names their kid Cain, by the way. I mean, just kind of shows you how far our civilization has devolved that someone has a male child and thinks, I'll name him Cain.
It's in the Bible.
That's right. It's in the Bible. It's a biblical name. Anyway. If you don't understand the irony there, you need to go look it up. Okay, anyway. But the thing is neither Breitbart nor Joe Rogan have the wisdom to see what's going on here and to call for the swift and painful death penalty for a rapist, and that a rapist who hasn't been tried yet should never be released from jail. Never. And if he is released from jail, then the guy who tries to kill him probably could be forgiven. I mean, more than likely should be forgiven for trying to. Anyway, but they don't understand. So let's go to something a little lighter because, I mean, let's go to the Big Dumb File where we report on LeBron James, who's the inspiration of the Big Dumb File. There's fewer bigger or dumber than LeBron James. LeBron James will be opening the LeBron James Museum in Ohio next year. Uh-huh. The LeBron James Family Foundation has announced that it's building a LeBron James Museum in Akron, Ohio to honor LeBron James.
He dead?
And he's going to open it. No, he's not dead. Note to world. Other people should open your museum. Preferably after you're dead. I mean, anything else is... I mean, do I need to even say this? I think not. But I think I do, because I don't think people understand anymore. LeBron James doesn't understand that it's a bit gauche for him to open his own museum. But how would he know? How would he know? I mean... I mean, he's from basketball. Not exactly a reservoir of civilizational wisdom. I mean, Michael Jordan just came out basically in support of an unrepentant murderer up over there at Nike. I mean, it's really sad how a sport that was founded with the best of intentions is now... completely emblematic of the decline and fall of the civilization from which it sprang. Basketball. I suppose it makes sense that it would turn out this way for basketball, since the North American liberal democracy model produced basketball. And so there you have it. Now we go from the Big Dumb File to the Big Dumb Convoy File, where Ted Cruz joined the People's Convoy. The People's Convoy. That's right. Fox News says the People's Convoy is a U.S. extension of the Canadian Freedom Convoy. The People's Convoy. I have another name for it that I won't. First of all, I wouldn't have called it the People's Convoy because that sounds like a communist thing. I mean, are any of you people even paying attention anymore? Has anybody even read history? The People's Convoy? Yeah, I have another name for it. Starts with P, but I won't, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, Ted Cruz joined the People's Convoy because he's standing up for freedom. That's right, Ted Cruz, I'm standing up for freedom. Uh-huh. And I want to thank every trucker standing up for every man and woman and child's freedom in America. That's right, the People's Convoy. What did the People's Convoy do with Ted Cruz on board and others? They began to circle the Beltway in Washington, D.C. They're going to drive around in circles. No civil disobedience at all. We're going to drive around this Beltway until they hear our voices. And we defend freedom for every man, woman, and child in America. We're going to drive in circles. Right around in circles. Driving. It's like a slow motion NASCAR, but we're all scared all the time. We're wetting ourselves driving in circles around Washington, D.C. until you people hear us. Ted Cruz. Right? No civil disobedience. You call yourself an extension of the... They blocked the Capitol for 3 weeks. They halted trade over the bridges between the border. You're going to compare yourself to the Canadian? This is embarrassing. This is the best we can do in America. We're all going to drive around in circles and listen to Ted Nugent records. We're angry. We're standing up for every man, woman, and child in America. Ted Cruz. I mean, please. But that's all we've got left in America, I guess. All right. Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Ted. Did I say Ted? Is it Ted Cruz or Ted Nugent?
Both.
It's Ted. It's Ted and Ted's excellent adventure. Emblematic of the end of America. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Ted, come back. Come back to us. All right. From there, we go to the World War File, where the European Union's highest court, has ruled that the bloc can suspend payments to member states if they breach the rule of law principles. Now, what are the rule of law principles, you might ask? Well, I'm going to get to that. The European Union's highest court has ruled against Hungary and Poland, accusing them of violating the rule of law principles. Too many words. Yeah, they say that, Hungary and Poland responded by arguing that the rule of law principles lack proper legal basis. Why are they having an argument? Why is the High Court upset with Hungary and Poland? Well, both nations have come under criticism at the EU for denying the rights of LGBTQ people. That's right. And the EU, in its ruling against Hungary and Poland, cite platitudes about democracy and freedom of the press and all this. But make no mistake, this is all about the complete sodomy of Eastern Europe. That's what this is about. Europe insisting that they be allowed to utterly sodomize all of Eastern Europe. And if Eastern Europe doesn't roll over for the sodomy, then the EU is going to stop with the funding of... Anyways. France's Europe European minister, Clemens Bleh, stated that the EU legislature has the legal authority to rule. This rule of law is our treasure. Must be enforced. The decision of the EU will result in the withholding of funds from any government they consider to be at odds with what they call their core democratic principles, which includes the utter sodomy of all of Eastern Europe. They've already sodomized everything around them and in their purview. Everything they could get their hands on, they've already raped and sodomized. Now they want Eastern Europe. And the rulers in Hungary and Poland are suddenly shocked. Polish Justice Minister Zbigniew, he called the EU court's move a turning point. He says it's a gloomy day that'll be written in the books of history. The EU is to use unlawful violence to take freedom away and limit the sovereignty of Poland. Yes, that's what they're doing. Hungarian Justice Minister called the court's ruling a political judgment, accused the EU of abusing its power. So here we have the EU Commission ruling against Hungary and Poland just as refugees flood into both countries from an actual war actually happening. But make no mistake, what is the primary concern of the European Union? It's not for the actual violence and bloodshed happening in Ukraine right now. It's for the utter sodomy of all of Eastern Europe. And one of the main reasons that Vladimir Putin has drawn a line in the sand is because of the sodomy of Eastern Europe. That's what this is about. This is about stopping the eastward march of the sodomites. Like I said, criminal, Putin understands. Criminally insane, yet. All right. Meanwhile, over here, speaking of sodomites, let's go to Matt Schlapp. What did I say? Oh, no, that's a Freudian slip. Matt Schlapp runs CPAC, and he took a six-figure donation from a Soros, a George Soros-linked group called the New Venture Fund. Yes, our mission is all around race, equity, diversity, and inclusion. They issued a cash grant of about $185,000 to the group run by Matt and his sister, Mercedes Schlapp. The New Venture Fund. Well, anyway, I'll post the link. Schlapp's Soros-linked cash, according to the National Pulse, comes as he went to bat last week for the tranny swimmer, Leah Thomas. Matt Schlapp posted to Twitter saying, "No matter what one thinks of Leah's abilities to swim with women, her story deserves our compassion. It will be interesting to hear her story in 30 years, says Matt Schlapp. I'm a conservative. I run CPAC. All right. It'll be interesting to find out about in 30 years? It'll be interesting to find out what Matt Schlapp was up to before his upcoming trial. Whatever. Yeah. All right. I'm going to move on from CPAC. People ask, what does CPAC stand for? Absolutely nothing is what we thought. But it turns out now, absolutely nothing can't exist. And so absolutely nothing gets filled up with sodomy is what Matt Schlapp is for, is what Matt Schlapp stands for. The sodomizing of the Republican Party, the sodomizing of the right wing in America. And so we go from there to reason number 1,929 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They may be asked to pledge allegiance to the rainbow flag by Pete Buttigieg's, I can't even say it, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg's, I can't say it. The man claiming to be Pete Buttigieg's husband was videotaped speaking at a kid's camp. So right there. You got a man pretending he's married to another man talking to kids at camp. Is this something out of an indictment? No, this is just the news. He's at camp leading children in a pledge of allegiance to the rainbow. He encourages them to pledge their allegiance and pledge their heart to the rainbow. I pledge my heart to the rainbow of the not-so-typical gay camp. Full of pride, indivisible, with affirmation, equal rights for all. So here's a criminal sex pervert up in front of a group of kids on videotape, and he hasn't been arrested. Anyway, Buttigieg told an observer regarding the event, "This stuff just puts the wind in my sails." Okay. That was him being out on the campaign trail with his The log cabin Republicans posted onto Twitter. Well, that's a pile of queers with an R after their name, by the way. They posted on Facebook or whatever, Twitter, I don't know. Whatever this is, we don't want it. Hands off. The log cabin Republicans said of this pledge to the rainbow flag. The log cabin Republicans, do I even want to go any further with this? I don't even want to go any further. This is all just disgusting. Let's go instead to reason number 1931. I need a shower after reading that story. A penicillin shot and a hot shower, for crying out loud. Reason number 1931, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. We have a report on the Eau Claire, Wisconsin school district there, where they're discussing the content of a teacher's training session. A teacher's training session that was given to teachers in the Eau Claire area school district. This was an equity session on safe spaces. Right there, that's all you need. An equity session on safe spaces. Somebody needs to be arrested if you're having that. Well, this equity session included a slide telling educators that parents are not entitled to know their kids' identities and sexual identities. Parents' ability to know such knowledge must be earned. Parents need to earn the privilege of understanding their child's sexual identity. Now, so basically the teachers are being told that they should conceal the identities of children who are transitioning at school. So children who've been corrupted and psychologically molested by their teachers to want to transition to the opposite sex, that needs to be hidden from the parents, unless the parents earn the right to understand and know. So parents naturally were not thrilled, according to redstate.com. They're not thrilled when they found out that their school district encouraged teachers to conceal this type of information. And so the parents have issued a statement, darn it. "We're appalled," they said in the statement, followed by, "We're equally dismayed." Darn it. Okay, so stop turning your children over to a bunch of criminally insane sex perverts who want to molest them. And you probably won't be as appalled or equally dismayed as quite as often. Reason number 1931, folks, get or keep your children out of the government schools. We now go to America's next public health crisis. What is the next public health crisis? Well, we have to have one, right? Because that's what we do now. For the rest of my life, America and society in general will be governed and ruled by a series of health crises. Crises, I suppose. Is that it? I think so. I mean, how do you come back from this? Yeah, it's like a heroin addict. Everybody's dope sick because they don't know what to freak out about now. So don't worry. The governing officials will give you something to freak out about on a regular basis. The next thing is going to be, well, I'm sure they'll come up with another transmissible disease, because that's a pretty good one. I mean, we've seen that that works pretty well. So that'll be trotted out. But the powers that be want us to now start freaking out about suicide, which, I mean, it is a crisis. There is a crisis. Suicide is at an all-time high, and it's only increasing. And it's going, and now it's the next urgent public health crisis, because that's what we have now. PJ Media reports that social stigma, misclassification, underreporting as accidental death, and a lack of autopsies or thorough investigations mean that the number of suicides that actually occur is significantly lower. I'm sorry, is significantly higher than what's reported. So suicide is at epidemic levels. That's true. We've been talking about that for at least 15 years on this show. But it's not always listed as the primary cause of death, and so the actual suicide rate is way higher than what we think. Since the 1980s, how bad is it? Since the 1980s, the suicide rate for young men has tripled, and for young women, it has doubled. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among Americans age 15 to 24, with the highest suicide rate of all being among adults age 40 to 59. Hey, that's my generation. They're talking about my generation. Generation X is killing itself at a rate unheard of in all of human history. This has never happened before, that a generation has killed itself on this level, and that's my generation. And it's getting worse and worse for the kids coming up. Anyway, if we were going to be governed or influenced by a public health crisis, then I would posit that it is the public health crisis of suicide that should gain the most of our attention. I mean, forget about the communicable diseases. But what about this? Well, nobody wants to talk about this because, well, they're the authors of it. And the people who authored the public health insanity, panics, and tyranny of the past couple of years, they're pretty comfortable with the idea of suicide. Pretty comfortable with it. All right. So from there, where do we want to go? Do we want to go to Ketanji Brown Jackson? Huh? Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is that a new hip-hop star? No. That's the new Supreme Court justice as nominated by President Joe Biden. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Need we say more? I mean, she has an African first name and she has two last names. I don't even think we need a debate. She's obviously qualified. Put her on the court. By the way, she also went to Harvard as an undergrad. She attended Harvard Law and is a member of the Harvard Law Review. She also clerked for Associate Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. I think there's no need for debate. We'll simply put her on the court. Certainly. Anyway, I have this report. I'll link to this. It's from the Washington Examiner. Her supporters, that's Ketanji, all right. Her supporters want to champion her as a deep legal thinker. But we've got a Congressional Research Service report that says Judge Ketanji has resolved relatively few cases, offering limited insight into what mode of constitutional interpretation she might follow in future cases. It's perfect. She's perfect. Right? So they're acting as if any of that actually, what will be her mode of constitutional interpretation? It's hard to say. It's a bit mysterious. They act as if any of that matters at all. None of that matters. She's the perfect candidate. She's just like Joe Biden. The emptier, the better. The only thing that really matters, the only thing that matters is she a baby killer? Has she had at least one abortion? And let's admit it, folks. She has an African first name. She has two last names. There's a pretty good chance that the odds are better than even that she's had at least one abortion. And that's what really matters. That's what we really care about getting on the court. Anyway, this is this rather ponderous story from the Washington Examiner talking about, we've got a professor says that she's got a relatively thin record and her nomination to the court, her path to nomination is a bit odd. And we've had some difficulty figuring out her judicial philosophy. None of that matters. And it's ridiculous theater for folks at the Washington Examiner or anywhere to assume or to even act like any of that means anything at all. This is all ridiculous theater at this point. We know all that matters is whether or not she's had the abortion. Is she okay with making sure everybody can get their abortion? That's all that matters. And for you people to dance around and talk about judicial philosophy, as if any of that even matters anymore. Come on. Do you think what we don't get this by now? We get it, okay? All right. Meanwhile, from the big dumb war file, Joe Biden has sent a Saudi detainee who planned to hijack planes on September 11th. Joe Biden has released him. Those darn Democrats, that darn Biden administration, releasing this terrorist. This terrorist, Muhammad al-Qahtani, has been held in Guantanamo Bay by mostly Republicans for the last 20 years. 11 of those years he was held and kept alive and educated and medicated and kept cool there in Guantanamo Bay by Republicans for 11 years out of the 20. Only 9 of those years was he held by Democrats. Those darn pesky Democrats. They're messing everything up. Joe Biden has repatriated Muhammad al-Qahtani through the Saudi Custodial Rehabilitation and Mental Health Care Program that they set up for extremists. Yeah. By the way, Joe Biden is about to head over to Saudi Arabia to ask them for some more oil. And oddly enough, he releases a terrorist to them just before he heads over there. That's weird. Those darn Democrats. Al-Qahtani, by the way, was arrested on August 4th, 2001. On his way from Saudi Arabia to meet with Mohammed Atta, who turned out to be one of the terrorists who hijacked the planes. So I wasn't aware, I had forgotten that we had arrested conspiracies before September 11th. This guy was arrested on August 4th. Is that before September 11th? That's before September 11th. Wow. And then after September 11th, we realized, oh my goodness, all of these people are... Anyway, it's just embarrassing. And now those darn Democrats have let him go to go back to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, all right. So is anyone allowed to point out that it's the Republicans who've kept these terrorists alive in jail for 20 years? It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's a mocking of anything resembling justice. But, well, that's where we are. Okay, so that's it for the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and at RealScienceRadio.com and my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen. Here, behind the Weekly Worldview microphone, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.